asked Lisa's asked me to preside tonight, so I will start. I'd like to call to order the Otter Rock Water District Board meeting for August 15th, 2023. And we will have roll call. Lisa?
Here.
Eileen?
Here.
Kelly?
Here.
And Beth is here. And staff member Whitney is here, and Curtis is here. And we also have Pat Anderson and Patty Hart. And I think
we got a full group tonight.
We've got a group tonight, that's for sure. Full group. So, approval of a board summary for the July meeting. Were there any questions? And we just have the Mullins joining us. Any questions about the board summary?
No. No.
I would entertain a motion to approve.
I'll second that.
Oh, I was asking for a motion.
Oh, I'll motion to approve.
Okay.
I'll second it.
Okay, thanks, Patty. Okay, Lisa?
Yes.
I'll vote yes. Eileen?
Yes.
And Kelly?
Yeah.
Motion is passed. Water operators report. Curtis?
Yo, yo, glad I made it in time.
Yeah, you made it certainly in time.
Walked in the door right at 6 o'clock, so this worked out well.
Good.
Say the past month, we've done a couple of basics. I sent you the report showing that we're still overflowing the reservoir about 30 gallons a minute. So it's down during the wintertime. We're doing something like 80 or 90 gallons a minute. So, I mean, we're definitely feeling summer. But as far as concern, I don't think we should be there yet. The fact that we're overflowing at all means we don't really need to be conserving water per se. So that would be my opinion. I do have Cody in the area if we want to have him go redo the test he did August 1st as like a preview for how we expect the month to go. We can go run it again and see if the numbers have changed. It only takes him a few minutes. But at this point, I'm not worried about it. Other things that have happened this month, we got 7 meters spliced in some of the more difficult areas. I was doing the math on the end. I'm sure you guys saw it, but per mana hour, we were averaging about 50% higher than what we were doing while we were working on the main roads. So when we were working on first, second, third street, we were typically doing them. I'm trying to remember exactly what the number was, but it was something like 15 or so man hours per meter install. And now it's like 23. And a lot of that is working out where there's a lot of roots and vegetation and difficulty finding things. And the other aspect is just the pipe material itself is getting more ancient, more fragile. And so we have to dig up a larger section of pipe, make sure we don't break something we can't fix. So there's a couple of things that are contributing to this specific section that we're working in taking longer than we would have expected. And then the last note is we did do the new service install. I forget the address off the top of my head, but that was our quote unquote 8th meter. So before we started this project, I bought 20 meters. We had 2 on the shelf and we had 3 out coming back under warranty. But as of now, we've put in 8 meters of our 22 that we had and 1 came back from warranty. So we're still waiting on the other 2. But that's where we are. We've got roughly 12, 13 meters that are good to go while keeping us some on the shelf in case something happens. So we're good to keep splicing in more. I'm trying to be on site more and more often. We're down a few guys at Highland in the field. And so to try and compensate for that, I'm getting in the field a little bit more. But I don't know that I can promise any numbers better than what we've been doing. The section's just difficult. So
Well, I have a quick question. When you said that the meter was under warranty and it came back, how do you know if the meter is faulty? How do you find that out?
There's a few problems that could come up. And if there's any problem with the meter, we consider it faulty. So if the meter, for example, no longer spins, the register doesn't recognize water usage. That is an example. If the radio head doesn't recognize the water usage, so if the meter is functionally spinning, but the electronic totalizer doesn't record the usage, that would show something's wrong. If the meter isn't being picked up by our little stick that we go through, we collect all the readings with, that would show something's wrong. So essentially, if there's any problem with the meter, they're brand new. We bought them either this year or last year, so we can just send them back to the factory or the distributor, who then sends it back to the factory. And they take it apart and say, oh, this is our problem. And either they'll send us a refurbished meter or they'll send us a new meter. I think in this case, they sent us a refurbished meter for the one we sent back.
Right. And I might mention that all the meters that we have replaced recently just quit recording any usage. So that was
all the new ones?
What?
All the new ones?
The ones that were sent in.
Oh, so the refurbished ones that came back quit working.
No, they were the ones that we did send in that we had you
replace.
Every single one of those just quit recording any usage.
Okay.
And that's why we noticed them. Well, wait a minute.
Yeah. So usually it's either the office realizing something's wrong with the number or Cody realizing that they're not picking up on his walking stick.
Right. So I have a question about the meters and a comment too on the number of hours that you had for exposing meter sites. There's a number of hours that were spent on locations that haven't gotten a meter yet.
Okay.
Those ones I sent on the list.
Yeah.
And so you're planning on working on those next?
We're trying to, yeah. So the list you sent us is what we're working on. But when Chris went out with the crew, essentially we had scheduled, I think it was like 3 days in a week. And the game plan was go and expose as many meters as you can. And then day two, we'll have the crew keep exploring and you can go splice. And I think he just started at the first one on the road or the street, and he spent several hours and couldn't find the service line to splice in. So he moved from that one to an easier service in preparation so that the next day, you're trying to make it so that he had worked to splice meters and we didn't have to shuffle things around, was his goal. So that's why we've been playing a little bit of hopscotch, is just trying to get some of the easier meters done so that the crew was able to continue as we had planned.
Right. So do you have a day scheduled to be back to complete the other meters?
Not right now. So I know we're going to have some people in the coast late next week. I'll have some people out there Thursday and Friday. So we might tag Otter Rock onto that and make it a Wednesday, Thursday, Friday type deal. But I haven't scheduled it out yet. I don't have any of next week planned. Like I said, we're a little short staffed, so I've been out in the field, unfortunately.
Okay, so, when you know, let us know.
one more
sounds good.
Curtis. When they came to do our meter, they, you know, went opposite from the corp stop. Is that what you call them?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And they found our old pipe, but of course it didn't have any water in it because the previous owners had replaced that pipe. So they said that they didn't have, that a locator was broken. But I guess what I'm wondering is how are we going to find pipes that might not be exactly opposite the corp stops?
Unfortunately, it's a lot of guess and check. So we've been in contact with the OAWU. We've got an arsenal of tools that we can use to try and find them. But if they're not locatable, it becomes very, very difficult. So most of the time what we end up doing is like a 3 or 4 inch trench and just travel down and see when we find it. We've tried things. We've tried ground penetrating radar. We have a listening device. The locator has a, trying to think of the name, it's like an area of effect to try and determine different types of material. Uh-huh. And nothing works very well. We've gone, it's not continuity, correlation. We've gone out correlating to try and find them. But because the service lines are so small and they're oftentimes poly or plastic, they're just very, very difficult to track. So that's why we end up trenching so much. And that does take a lot of time, unfortunately.
So on that one, Curtis, do you happen to know, did they find out that the corp stop is the correct corp stop? Because
I don't know on that.
We have another one out there on third that was abandoned that we found that the place was connected to a different corp stop, one of them that they installed. But the one that was on our old map and that was easy to find, they found out that one was not being used anymore.
Oh, interesting.
So, yeah, I was wondering about this one.
I don't know about this specific service. I could ask Chris and show him on a map. He was the one out doing the splicing that day.
So right. Yeah,
I heard about the ones that got done.
Yeah, I'm sure he'd remember that. That would be interesting. And I might have a clue. I have a mark that's 27 feet from something on one of the old maps, but it's not clear what it is. But it's in the general vicinity of that property. So,
I'm sure you remember when we searched for the service at your house and we had a map saying, oh, you know, it's 12 feet from this and 10 feet from that or whatever.
Right,
and
right.
Your map was like 20 feet off.
Yeah, right, so, yeah.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, as much as it's an educated guess, it's also a shot in the dark. So we can take our best guess on where we think it's at, but if it's not there, it's just a lot of searching and guessing and theorizing and trying to figure out where the service line would go.
Right. Well, I was wondering on this case, if we need to look for another corp stop, if perhaps added, you know, a different corp stop.
Well, a really simple test would be just shut off the corp stop and see
if they did. That's why I was asking about it, whether they knew.
I don't know.
Yeah. So anyway.
So as I understood from Beth's email, we're still good to keep splicing in more meters. I know we have 12 left. So if we're planning another day, I can let you know when it is, but we'll try and I heard there was a hole. There might be more than one that got left open in a bush that needs to get put back, stuff like that. So try and get out there and clean up some stuff that was disturbed and not returned to its original state. But as far as the board's concerned, we're still good to keep splicing.
Yeah, well, we've got ones left. We've got 1, 2, 3, 4 that were attempted that haven't been done, or 5 actually. And then we've had another one that was on your list that I don't think they looked at. Those are the ones that I sent you in that email.
Okay. Well, those are going to be the first ones we look at next time.
Yeah, okay.
Did you see my comment, Beth, on ours? It was actually at 6640.
Mm-hmm.
Laddies. Okay. Yeah. And Curtis, that must have been one that you ran into a lot of roots, because there was a hole and then the hole was gone. So you must have just kind of given up and filled the hole back in.
I remember talking to Chris when they were working on that, and they were looking and, you know, we know where the corp stop is, but they kept looking and trying to find the service line and didn't find it.
Yeah.
But I never heard what happened. And then it just, hole was there and the last hole was there and then it wasn't.
So with those ones, Curtis, are you just kind of pushing those aside and just moving on to ones that are a little easier? I know ours isn't on that LLRC list either, which, and I might get the acronym wrong there, Beth, but
LCRR, but yeah,
thank you. Yeah, so I guess those are the ones that you're trying to emphasize.
We have
I'm trying to emphasize the ones that Beth gave me. I'm guessing the reason that yours was backfilled was because the crew know it was going to be at least 2 weeks before we're back out there, and we don't just want to leave plywood and cones.
Okay.
But the reason it would have been skipped over in the first place was just because Chris knew he had a crew coming out the next day, and so he needed to make sure he had work for everybody so they weren't sitting on their hands.
Sure.
That okay. would be the reason.
Yeah. Okay. Sounds good.
Cool.
Okay.
Is there anything else for me?
Pat has a question.
Is it okay if I ask a question? Couple questions, actually.
Sure.
At this point, before Curtis leaves, is Spring 3 online now? So if we needed to use it, it is operable?
No. As I understand it, Spring 3 is emergency only.
It's not online, and it will be tricky to use it because of the broken, apparently non-functioning check valves.
Oh boy. Okay. Are we able to get somebody to fix that problem?
I would imagine so. I don't know a whole lot about the situation, but the last I heard it was offline and we seem to be fine without it.
Okay, well, and then my other question may run into this. Do we know how close this overflow rate right now is to this time last year?
Yeah, I did the calculation. I looked up last year August, and we're at 35% of what our overflow was last year.
Whoa.
The overflow last year in August was 90 gallons a minute?
82, yeah.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Ooh.
So we had a real nice wet spring last year, so our springs just kept going all summer, pretty strong.
How soon can we bring 3 fixed in case we need it? And do we have a procedure in place now for what is going to happen if we had to go to conservation?
We have an ordinance on that, yeah.
Okay, and that's still in effect in its, well, I haven't made a copy of it for a long time. Okay,
yeah,
thank you.
It's on the website.
Thank you.
Any other questions for Curtis?
Well, I have, I don't know if to bring it up with Curtis is the right time or to bring it up later.
Sure.
I've been approached by somebody who got a meter recently. And even though they're not there and all the water's turned off, it's running at a, you know, steady pace. So, you know, they went to the website and, you know, there's not really very much information there, except if there's a emergency to call the emergency line or Highland and that, you know, otherwise call your plumber. But for a lot of people who don't live here, they don't have an established plumber.
Right. Can we talk about that later? Because I think
yes.
we're talking about kind of internal things and
sure.
your website
yes.
and doesn't yep. necessarily yeah. have to do with the
Highland
and yeah. running our water system.
Yeah.
Okay.
I will add in that the meters are positive displacement. So it's very unlikely that there's some kind of like computer glitch to where the usage would be going up steadily. We could test it. We could just shut off the water to the home and
yeah.
see if the meter still goes up.
Uh-huh.
But I would have
right.
a strong inclination just from experience that he likely has a leak in the house somewhere.
Yeah, well, I told him.
Or in their supply line.
Yes, or their supply line. But that's my next question is when we're installing these meters, how do we know if we've damaged the supply line to their house from the meter? You know, because you're talking about how some of the pipes are old and fragile. So mm-hmm. how do we know if during the process
yeah.
of putting the meter on, if we have somehow cracked or damaged a pipe in the process?
Well, in that case,
because
it's leaking right there at the meter.
We pressurize the line with the hole still open. We can see everything that we've done.
Okay.
Unless depressurizing and repressurizing the line broke it,
uh-huh.
in which case Not only is there not really anything we can do about it, but that just means your plumbing needs to be replaced if turning the water off and back on is going to break it.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, no, we check all of our work. We had one home out on Ellie with really bad, I don't remember if it was steel lines or what, but they were extremely corroded. When we replaced the meter, we did break her line, so we ended up digging back another 5 feet. And I replaced it. I brought the homeowner out and I took pictures and said, hey, you know, we've repaired your line. It's no longer leaking. But as of, you know, when we leave the job site, this is your responsibility and your pipe's in such poor condition, I recommend replacing the whole thing.
Yeah.
So.
Curtis, a real quick question for you on Pat's question about spring three and the check valve. Were you familiar that, were you aware that that check valve wasn't functioning?
I didn't know the check valve wasn't functioning. I was told that spring three was taken offline due to coliform hits.
Oh, okay. All right.
So
well,
I might have outdated information, but I thought that's why it was taken offline.
Okay. Well, maybe we need to get you some current information on that, Curtis, just in case. So, and I don't know. I mean, if the check valve needs to be replaced, is that something that you could do?
Yeah, we can do that.
Okay. All right. Great.
I think there's several, and Craig is the person to talk to, Eileen.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Stay cool, Curtis.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Poor guy.
It's been a wonderful day.
Are you in the valley?
I am. It got up to 108 today.
Oh man. I'm in Gresham.
Oh, it's not out at the coast.
No, and I'm trying to figure out why in the hell we came home to Gresham. So, all right. Thank you, Curtis. Well,
sounds good. Okay, thanks, you all. Curtis. I hope you have a wonderful night.
Yeah,
Thank you. Same to you.
Okay. Let's move on to the treasurer and office report. Eileen?
Yep. Hold on one second here for me. Let me pull it up. I'm used to two screens. So when I come here, I only have one.
Oh, heavens.
I guess I'm spoiled.
You are. Although here I said I've got two screens too. I've got two laptops going.
All right. I thought I put it on my desktop, but I guess I didn't. Sports. All right. So our treasury report for July 31st, 2023. For security. Checking account was at $79,272.74. Uncleared was $1,395.25. We had a QuickBook register balance of $77,877.49. Our general checking account activity credits were $9,781.02. Debits were $11,826.08. Treasury savings is at $85,714.68. The system development fund is at $61,145.32. Community development is unchanged at $366.79. Chlorination account is at $10,844.29. Our AR balance, we've got a negative balance. It's $11,393.75, or a credit balance. The current assets are $224,554.82. And our accounts payables, or the bills that we need to pay, are $25,046.70. And of that, the majority of it is Highland. And some of that will be coming out of the chlorination account for the meters. And that's my report.
Great, thank you. Any questions?
Looks like Pat.
Pat has her hand up.
Go ahead, Pat.
Can you see my little icon that says my hand is up?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I do.
Oh, okay. I didn't think you could see it. Is there an accounting somewhere? Wrong question. Excuse me. What is the total of delinquent accounts? Or is it included somewhere in these other numbers?
Delinquent accounts are so minimal, Pat. There's like two outstanding accounts, and
good job.
Yeah, I mean they're just. I don't have it in front of me. I look at it every month. Actually, maybe I do have it here in my folder.
And as long as it's not still $10,000 as it used to be.
Yeah, what happened this month, you know, a lot of people I think are on auto pay. And yeah. I have a feeling that a lot of people didn't change their auto pay to the new rate. Because I noticed there's a lot of $15 sitting out there. So I'm sure that's something that Whitney's going to have to kind of address with people. And I'm not quite sure how she's going to do that. But, other than that, Pat, they're really and truly, there's just a couple. And
that's great. Congratulations.
Yeah, and, you know, I think looking at it monthly kind of helps because we're kind of trying to keep it under control here. So, which seems to be working.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, thank you.
Uh-huh.
Any other questions? Okay, we'll go on to our Business Oregon loan update. our August 4th hearing was canceled.
We need to make a motion to approve the bills and make a motion to approve the treasury report.
We could do that. Yes. Thank you. I just want to get done. No. Okay. Can we have a motion to approve the treasurer's report?
I make a motion to accept the treasurer's report.
Lisa, and a second. I'll second it. Oops. Lisa?
Yes.
Kelly?
Yes.
Eileen?
Yes.
Ellicker? Yes. Motion passes. Motion to pay the bills.
Yeah, I make a motion that we pay our bills.
Thank you,
Kelly. Second that.
Eileen seconds it.
The only thing that we've got that we didn't get an invoice on is from the payroll company. And I think Whitney was going to reach out to them and see if she could get an invoice. So, but that seems to be kind of an ongoing issue. So I hate to have that get where it was before with us not paying it. So hopefully she'll get an invoice so we can get that one paid.
They've only actually sent us invoices at our request, and the one was eight months late on their side.
No, I know. Yeah, I know, Whitney.
And we've received another one since then, though.
Right, right. And that's why I was kind of hoping that you could reach out to her.
I contacted her. I haven't heard back.
Okay. Just keep poking her.
Yeah.
You know, so, or it's going to be 8 months again.
The checks are on the table ready to be signed also. So.
Okay, great.
Okay, so we're voting on the motion to pay the bills. Eileen?
Yes.
Kelly?
Yes.
Lisa?
Yes.
Beth will vote yes, so motion passes. Okay, now we can go on to our Business Oregon loan update. And unfortunately, what happened is we got notice that we weren't going to have a hearing that, I don't know, maybe someone else could present this a little better than I could.
So we got in, we got an email from one of the people from Business Oregon, and they basically said that after reviewing our request for the 4.3 some million dollar loan, they didn't feel that it was something that was reasonable for a community of our size. And so they basically denied our request for that amount of money. So they canceled the meeting that we were supposed to have with the, I don't know if you'd call it a board, Beth, or.
Yes, it is a board.
Yeah, a board.
Yeah, it was a hearing.
The hearing, yep. And they were going to review things, but the whole meeting got canceled. So we reached back out to, her name isn't Kelly. What's her name with Business Oregon? I'm drawing a blank. Yeah. Anyways, we reached back out to Rachel? Her. I'm sorry?
Is it Rachel?
No,
it's not Rachel. Anyway, we reached back out to her and basically said, okay, where are we going from here? Is it dead in the water? Do we have some options? We kind of brought Kevin with Civil West in because he's very interested in the project. As a matter of fact, he's the only one that replied to our request for qualifications. And so she basically said that everybody's kind of trying to figure out what the next move is, if we can do things in sections. And so we have a meeting with them on the 22nd. We have a Teams meeting.
Tracy,
thank you. Yeah. So we have a meeting on the 22nd with Tracy with Business Oregon and the other people that have been involved, along with Kevin with Civil West, to kind of discuss where we can go from here as far as if we can get some funding and how much funding we can get. Because they're not going to give us $4 million. And I don't understand why.
Right.
So
well, we really don't want that, but
no.
We had to put that down. I mean, we're hoping we could still get some FEMA money. So
yeah, I don't think we ever really, you know, the objective was to kind of go out there and ask for the maximum with really the intention that we weren't hopefully going to need the maximum.
Right.
You know, because we're still waiting to hear on the FEMA money that we applied for. So anyways, that's where that's at. So I think after the 22nd, hopefully we'll have a little bit more information as far as what we can do going forward. And it sounds like because we've already applied for this, there was also a deadline in September that we're pretty safe with because we've already applied. So I guess we'll just kind of see what happens from here. But hopefully we'll have some options or some guidance as far as what we can do. That's the hope. Is that a good summary?
Yeah.
Opinion, Beth?
Yeah.
Okay.
And yeah. I know, yeah, she did say not to worry at all about that deadline in one of her emails.
Right.
So yeah. Just, since we're still working with them, it's fine.
Yeah.
And it did sound like they, you know, they wanted the meeting to explore our options. So
right.
If there's options there, then there's something. So I guess we'll just have to wait and find out. And
right.
We were hoping to have it scheduled before now, but with everybody, you know, it's August and vacations and trying to get a group of, you know, seven people together, I think total. And
But they have these meetings ongoing, these board meetings where they approve funding for different projects. So
yeah, I think they have them every other month or quarterly or something.
Yeah. So.
Right. And those are only for projects that are over 3 million that have to go before the board.
Okay. Yeah.
Any other comments? Questions? We'll just have to let you know when we know more about it.
Okay. But everybody's welcome to join that team meeting on the 22nd if you want some information on the, you know, on when it is.
Well, I'm going to be at that class.
Yeah, unfortunately, Kelly's going to be at a class, so we'll have to fill you in.
Yeah.
You're going to go to that class at Agate Beach?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a nice class, Kelly.
Good. I'm looking great. Forward to it.
Yeah. It's nice. It's very informative. Nice group of people. So.
Okay. On to document for license to install a meter on a private property. We had a customer who wanted to do this, and I think Lisa, you sent it to SDAO and they said
they basically
probably
said,
looks okay, but you should probably have your lawyer check it out.
Correct, because they could only do one little section, and they looked at it and they thought it was okay, but you know, it wasn't the whole thing, and you know, they said, you know, to give it to the lawyers.
Right, so that's what we need to discuss. Do we want to do that? And do we know what they charge for a document inspection? I suppose it varies. What was it, about a two pager or something?
I have no idea what they charge. I'm guessing their hourly rate, which is 195, wasn't it, to 250? I don't remember.
Oh, isn't it way more than that? But anyway. But we may have more of those in the future, so it would probably be a good idea.
Yeah, and then kind of look at what it might cost us in the future if we don't do it. You know.
Do what?
What it might cost us in the future if we don't do it, if we don't have a lawyer look at it.
Oh, right. The chance that there's some liability that we would incur. Correct, yeah. So in order to do that, we would need a motion.
I make a motion to send the letter to our lawyers.
I second it.
Okay, give me a minute here. And any other discussion on this? Are we ready to vote? Let's vote. Lisa?
Yes.
Eileen?
Yes.
Kelly?
Yes.
I'll make it 4. I'll vote yes. So Beth votes yes. So motion passes. So Lisa, you're going to take care of that, correct?
Yes, I will send it to the lawyers and CC everyone, so when the lawyer responds, we can get it all. We're on the same page.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thanks, Lisa.
You're welcome.
Okay, next on the agenda is other correspondence, which we received a tort claim notice from a customer. And I don't know if everyone knows what a tort claim is, but anytime someone is going to claim some kind of financial damage or even personal damage to a public entity or a municipality in Oregon, they have 6 months to file a notice that they may file a claim. And we did receive that notice. it has been sent to our insurance people, and they are investigating it. We sent some information to them that of some communications we had with this customer, and we are just waiting to hear back from them. Not really a whole lot we can say about it at this point, but just to let everyone know that this has occurred. So, any other comments on that from the board?
So once we hear from our insurance about their views on the matter, then we'll discuss it further about whether there's anything that we need to do in terms of legal representation or anything like that.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, it really, it's all in their hands now. They're investigating it and they'll have a response, and
okay,
we can't do anything until we get to that point. I have to open this up earlier. So next on the agenda is our request for qualifications for a project engineering. And as Eileen already mentioned, we only got one response, and that was from Civil West. And in that request, there were several categories where we would assign up to a certain number of points for that. And I'm looking for it here, but I'm not finding it. I meant to open that up earlier and I forgot.
So Beth, is that even relevant anymore? I mean, because they basically kind of put us on hold. Are we going to have to go back to the drawing board and then re-request everything?
For an engineer for the project?
Right.
No, unless we are saying we're going to not do the project.
Okay. Okay. So even though business organs kind of put us on hold, we can still kind of move forward with.
Right. And we probably, this is something we could have done a year ago. And, you know, it just means you're selecting this engineer to work on the project, and we can't really have them do much more work without any funding anyway.
Right. So, right. But we are kind of committing at this point to work with Civil West.
Well, if they were our selection.
Yeah.
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 And that's something that the board needs to decide. I mean, we don't have to. You know, you do a request like this for the qualifications, you don't have to choose anybody if you don't have anybody that you like. I mean, it's not just a done deal just because one person applied.
Right, right. You're not really committing any finances or anything. You're just kind of committing to working with them.
Right, as you remember in the request, it didn't say that it didn't include any invitation for, it wasn't bidding, and that the actual compensation amount would be negotiated.
Right. It's just more looking for somebody that has the qualifications to help us going forward.
Well, it's to select your engineer, but it doesn't mean that we've agreed on a price.
Right, right. Right.
With them, or that they're going to do it for X dollars an hour or whatever, or they aren't giving us a bid on what their work would cost for the entire project or anything.
Right, right.
So do we want, I guess the question is then, do we want to go ahead and make that selection, or do we want to wait?
Well, you know, I'm I'm very happy with working with Kevin. I think that he seems to have our best interest in mind. And, you know, he's the only one that even responded. So, I mean, I'd be happy to say, yes, let's go ahead and approve this. I don't know how anybody else feels about it.
I don't have enough information to make a decision.
Yeah.
Okay, I don't know why I can't find this now.
I think Civil West is qualified. I think that they have a lot of talented people on their roster. And Business Oregon really likes them and trusts them. And yeah. I think that's a big thing because, you know, we want somebody who Business Oregon, you know, wants to work with. I think that's very helpful.
Right.
So
this request for qualifications had four areas that we would score someone on. And one was experience, previous experience working with a small water system, availability to the project locale, and familiarity with the project locale. So then project team and work approach. Let's see, the first one was 20 points. The second one, the availability was 30 points. 30 points for their team and work approach. And then similar local coastal project examples was the fourth category. And that score was 20 points.
Yeah.
So personally, I think, you know, they gave us a very nice, they submitted a very good, complete proposal, and I would have scored them, you know, all the points in each of the category.
Yeah.
I don't know how anybody else feels about it.
Yeah. Well, I'm with you, Beth. I mean, they certainly understand our situation here, and they are certainly familiar with other communities along the coast. So,
right, and they've done quite a bit of work for us already with the going back to what 2017,
yeah,
and the feasibility study and everything.
Yeah. So is this something? Sorry, Lisa. Go ahead.
This is not relevant, but do you guys remember how I met Kevin?
Mm-mm.
And Civil West. We were at Agate Beach with the dogs and he came up to the car.
Oh.
And we got in a conversation. Years ago, and yeah, long, long time ago. That's how I met him.
But they did work in what, 2017 with the feasibility study. So they've been working with the water district.
And then Kelly, they're also the ones that are helping us with the EPA study and helping us with that application. So
EPA? You mean the FEMA?
FEMA. I'm sorry, FEMA.
The FEMA, yeah.
FEMA, yeah.
Right.
Is this something we need a motion on? Yeah.
Most definitely, yeah.
Okay.
So does someone want to make a motion?
Yeah, I'll make the motion that we approve their...
That we select them.
I second.
Okay, I'm going to say the motion to select Civil West for our project engineer. And Lisa seconded. Okay. Lisa?
Yes.
Eileen?
Yes.
Kelly?
I think I'm going to abstain just because I feel like I don't have enough understanding to vote on this.
Okay, that's fine. And I'll vote yes, so motion passes. Okay, we do not have any ordinances or resolutions, so it is time for anything else on the agenda or public comments. Do we have any public comments?
You know, I just have some concerns that somebody brought up to me about having more information on our website about what to do.
Okay, let's wait and see. Is there any of the public that's attending? Do they have any comments that they would like to make? And then we'll go to board member comments. So, okay, Kelly, why don't you go ahead with that?
So, the concern that I heard was that there really wasn't very much information about, or this person didn't feel like there was much information about, you know, the meters coming on board and, you know, how often they were going to be monitored and whether you should be monitoring them yourself. And then, you know, if, you know, what we have on our board just says, you know, if you have a water emergency, call your plumber. But for people that, you know, don't live here, I don't know, you know, what I told them was, you know, we can't recommend plumbers. I don't know if we could list the, you know, possible plumbers. Okay, so we can't even list any.
I wouldn't recommend even going there.
Okay. And
their best thing to do is like any new homeowner is to talk to their neighbors probably, you know, and get then, recommendations from them.
You know, they were like wondering if we could put something on our website about signs that you possibly could have a leak. You know, like
I think we do have a few under the water conservation part, but maybe not. Yeah.
You know, because I did some research then online, of course. And I know that really like Highland is for anything that is wrong with our part of the system.
Our system, yes.
Anything that's on their property is up to them.
Correct.
And so, you know, certainly if they need to shut their water off, because, you know, it just seems like they got a pool in their backyard or something, then Highland would be the person to do that, correct?
Yes. Yes. To just shut it off at the street or at the meter.
Right. And then would they incur that $700 shut off and $700 restart fee?
No, that's a turn off and turn on to repair their system. If they had to do that, is $75 each. So
okay, and the $700 turn off turn on is just for people who are shutting off if they're like gone.
If someone discontinues the service to a property and then a year later or 10 years later wants to start it up, yeah.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, I said, I don't know, did you have a chance to, I did have an email response back.
No, I haven't checked my emails today.
Oh, okay. I would hesitate to put too much on our website because.
You've got liability issues.
Liability, yeah. I mean, if we didn't tell them everything they should look for, then they could come back and say, oh, but you didn't tell us this and it cost me this much extra. Yeah. But it's really their responsibility. And, you know, I don't know, maybe these people are brand new homeowners or something, but it's kind of the thing you have to go through with any, you know, home or property that you have, but that you have to find, you know,
people
do work for you. And I did a brief survey for other water providers and I didn't see anybody who went into how to troubleshoot a leak. Mm-hmm. But there sure is, on the internet, you get all kinds of stuff.
Yep.
And the only thing I did see is how to do the which I think everybody probably knows, the toilet tank leak, test with the, coloring in the tank. That's the only thing I did find, although I didn't do an extensive search, but yeah.
Oh yeah, there's things like, is there discoloration or bubbling on your paint? Is there staining on your...
Oh, there's tons of,
Okay, all right.
You know, one of the things, Kelly, is the fact that not everybody is metered. So when we get these reports every month, and I don't know if you had a chance to look at them, but, what we've been doing is, you take last month and this month and you kind of do just a simple calculation to see how much water has been used by the people that do have meters.
Right.
And so that can be helpful, but only for the people that are metered, right. And if there's something that sticks out, you're going, okay, wait a minute, I think we have a problem here.
Right. Well, they just basically looked at their meter box.
Yeah.
And saw that the thing was turning around, even though they don't have any water on. And then it appears that their neighbor had the same thing happen, that they were
probably both have leaks. Meter,
and it was, yeah. Well, and, basically that's what I said, these homes are old and.
Right. And the pipe and the pipes are old.
Right. And any municipality, it's the same thing. The municipality is responsible up to the homeowner's property, and then the homeowner is responsible on the other side. So,
keep in mind too, Kelly, that anything that we ask Highland to do outside of what they're contracted to do, we get charged for.
Right.
So.
Right, and we really don't. I mean, we have asked Highland a few times to do some additional meter checks on a few customers because we thought they were having a leak problem, but that's as far as we're going to go, and we're not going to have Highland trying to troubleshoot someone's leak.
Oh no, I'm not. Yeah. I'm not.
Well, I'm we've not, been asked to do that, so.
No, I'm not advocating for that.
Yeah.
And in fact, I told them, that you would only call Highland if, there was an emergency that you needed to get your water shut off.
Right.
But you couldn't do it at your main meter.
Right.
To your house. Or if they thought there was something wrong with the meter itself. But So what I was wondering too is, are we checking, is Highland checking the meter readings on all the meters or just the commercial ones that get charged?
No, they all get.
Okay.
And you, we've got to get Devin back into, he used to send them to everybody, and I've had to ask, rank the meter readings, the monthly meter readings. And for a while he was sending them to all the commissioners. Lately, he's just been sending them to Whitney, and I've had to ask her if she's got it, because I take a look at it, and I've been doing the calculations, and then I share that information with Craig, who goes and then talks to people, because he used to read the meters before we had Highland.
Oh, I see.
He was a volunteer who did it, so he's very interested in it.
Okay.
And
He was talking to me the other day about the El Nino and La Nino years and how that affects the springs. And, it was kind of interesting.
Well, it's the weather that affects the springs. Yeah,
right.
How much rain we get and when we get it.
Yeah. And the fact that if we're in a La Nina year, it can take all the way through like next July to replenish those springs.
Yeah.
If we're in a drought year, to really replenish them.
Right.
Although,
I think that that's, and I don't know if that's something, you know, Curtis is like, oh, you know, we're fine. But I'm just wondering if he really is aware of, you know, where we're at with these springs and the history of them, you know, where there are some people in the community that I think are much more aware of where things are at with the springs.
Yeah, because the 35% was new information to him.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, his eyes kind of...
30-gallon
overflow.
Yeah, he thought the overflow was fine. But then when you brought up, Eileen, that it was, or Beth, that it was only 35% of what we had at the same time last year, then he was like, oh.
Yeah, yeah, so. Yeah.
But we do still have overflow, which means we're okay.
Yeah.
And this is pretty typical. I mean, there's a time lag between the rain and the springs, you know.
Yeah.
And so it's later in the dry season that we start seeing them really slow down, and which will also mean, you know, they may not gain the same quantity that they had in April until, you know, November, December easily.
Right.
You know, it'll take a number of months of good rain for them to build back up.
Yeah.
So speaking of volunteers, you know, I'm going to be gone. I'm at my class on the 22nd, and then I'm going to be gone from September 24th to September 5th. But I wanted to say that between now and the 22nd, I would be happy to go clear brush or look for corp stops if you tell me how to do that.
Okay.
So just tell me what to do and when to do it, and I will be there.
Okay. Well, I was just about to email Craig and see if he was ready to go sniff out a few of them. He's got a nose for these things, I tell you.
Okay. I'll put on my long pants and my long sleeves and get my clippers and
and some gloves and
Pat's got a band up again.
And so between now and the 22nd, well, better get my calendar filled up here. Okay, any other board member comments?
I am concerned as well about the water. I know Curtis isn't, but I am, and I will always. So we just have to keep a close watch on it. I'm just concerned.
Okay. Like I am every year. You know, he offered to, you know, he said, Cody will be in the area. Do we want him to do a mid-month?
I think that's a good idea.
Yeah, but that's more, I didn't want to commit because that's more money and I didn't know if we wanted to do that. So I didn't want to do that without having a board discussion about it.
They might do that kind of as a courtesy, Lisa.
Well, it'll take him a little time, but I don't think it's a whole lot.
Yeah.
He made it sound like it was not that time consuming.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, I think he can,
Okay. Then I will email him. I will respond to the email. He would like, you know, a mid-month check because, you know, this month has been really dry.
What?
The last days have been really dry, so.
You broke up, Lisa.
Can you hear me?
Yeah. Yep.
Right now.
Okay. I'll send an email to Curtis saying that we would like a mid-month check.
Okay.
On the overflow?
Thank you.
Okay, any other board member comments? And we have Pat, did you have your hand up again?
I'm sorry, I do.
Maybe.
Oh, I just remembered mine. Okay.
I think you can clarify this for me, but I'm worried about spring three not being operative. But I'm looking at the Highland report and showing a flow rate for all three springs. Then he's got a total or a number for the reservoir overflow rate.
Right.
Are one and two the only water that's going into the reservoir right now?
Yes.
Okay. So if we had spring three on, we would really have a much better outlook.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've got spring spring three as a backup, and
yeah,
it can be used, but it would entail someone manually going up there and turning some valves, starting the pump, and then going back there to turn the valves off, and the pump off. Because these check valves are broken and they allow all the water to drain out from the entire system while you're trying to pump just from spring.
Oh, that would be fun, wouldn't it?
Yeah, yeah. So we actually apparently used this some years ago. And what they did was a couple times a week, this is back when we had Jim, he would start up the pump about, you know, I don't know, 4 or 5 o'clock, and then he'd go back up at midnight to turn it off and turn the valves and set it back to for springs one and two just to be flowing in.
I remember.
Yeah.
So thank you for considering getting those check valves fixed, but may I encourage you a little more, please get those check valves fixed in case we need to use that spring.
Right.
So right now, if there's overflow, it wouldn't make any sense to turn spring three on because it's just overflowing.
Right.
That would just add to the overflow, theoretically.
Right. It's just going to add to the overflow.
Yeah.
But if it's our emergency backup, we don't know yet if we're going to have an emergency or not. Hopefully not.
Right.
But we should be ready.
Right. Yeah. See, ideally we had it set up, assuming that the check valves did work, we could set that pump on, because spring three is the only one that has to be pumped to the reservoir because it's lower. The others come in by gravity feed. And there's a timer for the pump, and that can be just set for a few hours, you know, a day or whatever you think you want to add to the reservoir. But because of the check valves, it gets real complicated because you have to turn other valves off manually. So,
well, I think we could probably certainly ask Curtis to give us a price.
Right. Mm-hmm. And yeah, what we should do is have connect Craig, because he knows exactly how to do it and all those, and connect
Tom Kammerer. Tom Kammerer is also very familiar with all of that too. But I could be wrong, but I thought I'm remembering that there you could have that pump on and there was some sort of a float valve that would shut it off.
Probably.
Craig says there's a timer for it.
Oh, just a timer?
Okay. Yeah, there's a timer.
Well, maybe there's a different timer that could be put on it that would run for 4 hours at a stretch and automatically shut off.
Right, but when you start up pumping from spring three, then because the check valves are not working, they're allowing all the water to come out.
Of the reservoir.
If the check valves were fixed, that would be the scenario. You could put a timer.
Yeah, you could say put it on for a couple hours or 4 hours every night. And
it's not practical that somebody would have to go up and back and up and back to regulate the thing.
Yeah.
So I encourage the board. Thank you. Hope you'll find a way to do that.
Okay.
Thank you, Pat.
So now I've forgotten what. Okay, and another, I have one thing because I'm always forgetting things to the last minute. we did have a community member that would like to do potlucks and suggested even possibly doing a monthly community potluck. And they actually wanted to do one this month, but we have a problem with I think it's a yellow jacket nest that's somewhat close to the front door.
In the ground. I went and looked at it. It's in the ground.
Right, at the base of that roadie. So did you mention something about calling some people?
I didn't make a call.
Oh.
Okay. I certainly can, but I read some of the reviews of these companies when I was researching them, and there were some unfavorable comments in that all of them seem to want to put you on a monthly maintenance plan. And of course, we don't have to do that. We can just look for somebody to come out and then how does everybody feel about, you know, putting some poison in the ground by the center?
We had a yellow jacket nest in our yard, kind of in a stump. And Scott went out there with a can of Raid and sprayed it in there and ran away from it. And the yellow jackets are gone. So I think if we have a brave man that wants to go do that, we probably could get rid of the yellow jacket nest. So.
Right. Well, I've made a couple suggestions and no one's taken me up on it. I tried that approach, but I didn't just talk to everybody. Well,
you know, Scott's always up for a challenge like that.
Okay, well, maybe
I can't get him to dig any holes with his stupid backhoe, but you know, he'll go kill some.
He can go spray, yeah. Well, it's really easy to ID the where it is because it's the Delano discovered it. He was doing cleanup work there for us.
Okay.
And he was going after all the weeds and blackberries. And it's the one really large roadie that's about 10 feet from the front door.
Sure, the one I kind of got.
It's the one that still has a blackberry growing up it.
Okay.
Because he stopped.
Okay.
If you just stand on the walkway by the door.
Yeah, and just watch.
They're going in and out like every 2 or 3 seconds.
Right, okay. Right.
It's a busy hive.
It's probably getting busier and busier. So
Well, they are somewhat beneficial. I'm not quite sure how or why, but
right. Well, everything is, but sometimes they do get in our way. And
so they want to do a monthly potluck?
Yeah, it was the idea that
you guys used to do a lot of potlucks.
We used to do a lot of them, and she said, you know, where she grew up in Logsdon, I think, because they did a monthly potluck, and different community members kind of hosted and organized it for, you know, traded off for the different months. And
yeah,
she suggested doing that, and so I think that would really be good. I mean, maybe it doesn't have to be monthly, but quarterly or something.
Sure.
It would be a lot of fun. I remember it was a good time.
Well, it's so sad that that community center just sits there.
Right. Yeah.
It's
we haven't
such had, a nice, I yeah. mean, other than the fact that we don't have a refrigerator, hint, hint, everybody. So did we put that in the budget?
It got vetoed.
Oh, okay.
Right. So anyway, I just wanted to mention that if anybody was interested, I will connect them with I will connect them with our community member who wanted to do that. And maybe if we have a, you know, group of a half a dozen households, we could do it, you know, every other month or quarterly or something.
As long as the yellow jackets get removed first.
Okay.
That was my only qualm. I don't want people to get stung.
No.
And then sue us because they got stung.
I will make a call to two companies and just ask them what they would charge for a one-time.
Right.
Spray.
Yellow jacket removal.
Since we're back to the yellow jackets, should I put a note on the door, like in big writing, saying, beware the yellow jackets behind you?
I don't know how many people come up there. I guess we do. We do have the payment.
I'm going to drop their checks off.
I'll be dropping my check off. So, but I know about them. So.
Right. Don't go dancing over by the bushes.
Well, that's what I'm wondering, is if I should put a sign up for now, like, watch out.
Well, it doesn't hurt.
It wouldn't hurt. I wouldn't have noticed they were there if Delano hadn't told me, so.
Me either. And they love me, so I'm glad to know that they're there.
Yeah. Okay, so maybe Kelly, you make a few calls and Eileen can talk to Scott, and maybe the two of you can get together if Scott is gung-ho to go destroy them, then maybe we don't have to.
Well, that's right. You know, you could spray a can of Raid and throw a big rock over the opening. So mean, but.
Yeah, well, I won't suggest what we used to do when I was a kid out on the farm. So. It had to do with water balloons not filled with water.
Oh, now see, Scott would be totally up for that, Beth.
My brothers love to do that. Well, they got pissed because they'd be out mowing and got stung, and so
they took care of that.
Run by, drop it, run another pass by and with
throw
a match and then take a couple matches. But yeah, that took care of those guys.
We might take care of the community center that way. So
yeah, we don't want to, I'm not advocating for that. That's what
no birds
do. Okay. Anything else? I think we're at 17 here. Yeah. There's nothing else. I think we should adjourn. Is there any objection to adjourning?
No, just thank you, everybody. Thank you, Beth, for sending me those links. And thank you to everybody else for helping me as a newbie. I appreciate it.
Yeah, well, don't hesitate to ask.
Okay. And just let me know if you need me to go out cutting brush or looking for corp stops.
Okay.
Have fun at the conference, Kelly.
Thank you. I will. I'll take lots.
Yeah.
Okay. I am going to adjourn this meeting then.